huge creature like them? O'Hara asked. Carlstead snickered. You've got predators in your bloodstream right now, Lane. We're thousands of times bigger than bacteria. Less talk, Dr. Carlstead, Krebs grumbled. Get that data capsule prepared. It's almost ready, Captain, said Carlstead, tapping in his console's touchscreens. Grant asked, Could they be talking to each other at sound frequencies that the phones don't pick up? They go down to ultra-low frequency, Musarawa answered, less than 10 cycles per second. What's the upper limit? Asked Carlstead. Nearly 100 kilohertz, far beyond the range of human hearing. We should have brought a dog aboard, Carlstead muttered. Or a few of the dolphins, said O'Hara. Sound waves of that intensity, said Krebs, can destroy living tissue. Or crack this submersible like an eggshell if they have enough power behind them, Musarawa said. Happy thought, Carlstead groused. My point is, Krebs said, that those creatures would not use such a high frequency to communicate. It would hurt them. But they might use it as a weapon, Carlstead said. If they're communicating with each other, Musarawa said slowly, I would think it would be visually. They light up like signboards, don't they? O'Hara said. Like those airships that hovered over football matches when I was a child, Carlstead agreed. The lights flickered on and off so quickly that Grant couldn't tell if they were forming patterns of any sort. They were almost as fast as strobe lights. Where is my data capsule? Krebs demanded. I was just about to tell you, Captain. The capsule is ready for your input. Scowling, Krebs pushed off the overhead and settled next to Carlstead like a bulky log sinking down beside a willowy undersea reed. Carlstead tapped one of his touchscreens, and the yellow communications light winked on. Data capsule number 2, she said, her harsh voice flat, emotionless. We have encountered a group of very large organisms. They appear to be ingesting the organic particles that drift through the sea. We are following them and will continue to do so until our life support supplies go critical. Krebs touched the screen, and the light went off. Is that all you'll be saying? O'Hara blurted. Won't you tell them about their signaling lights? They'll be able to see the lights as well as we do, Krebs said. They can draw their own conclusions as to whether they are signals or not.
But they've got to be, O'Hara said. What else could they be?
Launch the capsule, Krebs told Carlstead. Giving O'Hara a sour look, she retorted. They could be almost anything, anything at all. Don't leap to conclusions. Carlstead launched the capsule with a touch of a fingertip against a screen. Grant felt it as a slight shudder.
The lights flicker on and off so fast, Musarawa said, that it's impossible to tell what they are.
Can't we slow them down? Grant asked. I mean, run our imagery of them at a reduced speed.
Slow motion?
Yes. Musarawa thought it over for a moment. Then said, Yes, that's a good idea.
Captain?
Do it, Krebs snapped. It took several minutes for Musarawa to program the imagery stored in the sensor's computer memory. Finally, he told them he was ready.
Put it on the main screen, Krebs ordered.
The ache in Grant's back was returning. He could not see anything wrong in the display screens on his console, but the ache warned him that the thruster was starting to decay again. Looking up, he saw on the wall screen what appeared to be a still picture of one of the Jovians. No, his flippers were moving, but so slowly that Grant could see little silvery particles in the water tumbling in the wake of those powerful paddles of flesh. Diamonds, he realized anew. They're swimming through a cloud of diamonds and food. Though the beasts were still some 50 kilometers distant, the camera's magnification showed them in some detail. Their skins looked gray, rubbery, but mottled with rough lumps and knobs and eyes. Those things had to be eyes. Rows of them, hundreds of them, staring out into the hot, dark sea. Grant shuddered. For a moment, he felt as if those eyes were looking at him,
watching him appraising the intruding aliens from another world. They're so huge, Grant thought. How could any creature grow to such enormous size? How does its nervous system control those flippers? Where is the brain located? Lord, one of those flippers could crush us with just a flick. He saw patches of different colors here and there on the skin of the beasts. Parasites? There's a whole biosphere in this ocean with plenty of ecological niches for all sorts of creatures. The organics from the clouds are at the bottom of the food chain, and these gigantic super whales must be at the top. What else are we going to find? Red and orange lights glowed along the huge flanks of the massive creatures, strange, puzzling designs that lit the ocean with their eerie glow. They made no sense to Grant. They gave no hint of meaning. Well, at least they're not saying Earthlings go home, Karlstad wisecracked. But look, Muzarawa pointed toward the wall screen. They are all repeating the same set of symbols. Is it writing? O'Hara asked. Impossible, spat Krebs. And yet, it must mean something, Karlstad said. It means something to them, I should think, Muzarawa murmured. Krebs started to say, do not leap to... She stopped, open-mouthed. Grant saw it too. So did all the others. One of the Jovians displayed an image of a round, saucer-shaped object with a single row of lights dotting its forward side. The saucer was in deep red, the lights a bright orange. Almost immediately, the others began to show the same picture. That's us, Karlstad yelped. The same picture flashed back and forth among each of the Jovians in the screen's display. They've seen us, O'Hara said in an odd whisper. They know we're here, Krebs agreed. My God, said Grant, they are intelligent.
Leviathan. Gulping down the streaming food greedily, Leviathan realized it had been congratulating itself too soon. A lone member of the kin was always prey to the darters, and it was too far from the giant storm to use the same tactics that had saved it from the earlier pack. Speed. Speed was Leviathan's only hope. If it could get back to its own kin, rejoin the others, then the darters would not dare to attack. Even if they were foolish or desperate enough to try, an entire gathering of kin could crush the darters with ease. Darters almost always broke off their attacks when they saw a whole gathering swinging into a defensive sphere. They preferred to attack lone members, waiting until one of the kin moved off by itself to dissociate and begin budding. But the kin were still far, far off, and the darters were moving in fast. It was going to be a race, Leviathan knew, urging its flagella members to their utmost speed. A race against time. A race against death.
Pursuit. Nonsense, Krebs snarled. Just because they can mimic what they see doesn't make them intelligent. It doesn't make them stupid, Karlstad quipped. Parrots can mimic human speech, Krebs said. Dogs, horses, many animals can respond to human commands. Does that make them intelligent? Dolphins speak with us, O'Hara said. Krebs shook her head stubbornly. Intelligence requires culture, technology. Dolphins have none. How could they, Grant wondered, living underwater without hands to manipulate their environment, without the ability to make fire? They're stuck with their own muscle power, and that's a dead end. Ants have culture and technology, Karlstad said. Before Krebs could respond, O'Hara countered, the mark of intelligence is the ability to communicate abstract ideas among others of your species. The dolphins do that. Abstract ideas? Muzarawa asked. Yes, replied O'Hara firmly. They can understand friendship and loyalty. They have family ties. Krebs, still looking utterly unconvinced, said, we are not here for philosophical debates. Maintain the same course and speed as the whales. The more data we get on them, the better. The pain in his back was getting worse. Grant closed his eyes.